We're happy you're here, and we're happy to be able to tell you that Christ is the Savior of sinners. Christ is the Savior for me, and I trust He's yours. Before we do, I have a couple of verses I want to comment on. Turn to Psalm 89, just one verse there. The 89th Psalm, and verse 5. The heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Lord, thy faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints. Thy faithfulness, O Lord, in the congregation of the saints. Now Proverbs 21, please, and verse 16. Proverbs 21 and verse 16. The man that wandereth out of the way of understanding shall remain in the congregation of the dead. He shall remain in the congregation of the dead. There's only two groups. You know, all that matters is God's appraisal of a situation. And God says there's only two groups. Here we've seen the congregation of the saints and the congregation of the dead. You're in one or the other right now. You're either in your sins or you're saved. You're a sinner or you're a saint. You are on your way to heaven or you're hell-bent. You're in Christ, or you're still in your sins and in peril. You're a child of God, or you're a slave of Satan. There's only two. There's no middle. You're in the congregation of the saints, or you're in the congregation of the dead. Now turn to Acts 28, just a verse or two before we sing here. You know, a group similar to this, perhaps not as large, maybe larger, in the days of the Apostle Paul, came to him to hear the word of God. I trust that's why you're here. I'm sure it is. And they came, some believing and some not believing. That's the way you are here tonight, no doubt. Just two groups. Those that believe God, that you're saved on your way to heaven. Those that didn't believe or do not believe what God says about you and about His Son as Savior, you're on your way to hell. They said in verse 22 of the 28th chapter of Acts, we desire to hear of thee what thou thinkest. If they wanted to hear what Paul thought, it'd be Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Christ died according to the Scriptures and was buried, and He rose again according to the Scriptures. Paul would preach Christ because there is no other Savior. You know what it says in Acts 4:12? Neither is there any other. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus Christ, the Son of God. There's none other. So if they wanted to hear from Paul, that's what they'd hear. Verse 23 says, many came. Oh, how wonderful it is when they do hear the word of God, because faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Many came. And it says Paul expounded and testified kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus. Who else? The only Savior. There is none other. Concerning Jesus. You know, I'm sure he preached, in effect, the verse that I love, John 5:24. It only takes one verse from the Word of God to save us all. That's all. This one could save your soul tonight if you're not saved. And you'd be sure you'd be on your way to heaven. John 5:24, verily, verily, it's the Lord Jesus speaking, you know. Verily, verily, if you like a different translation, truly, truly, amen, amen, or my version, you better believe it. Verily, verily, I say unto you. You know, it's personal. The Word of God is personal. It's to you. Jesus speaking now to you. I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth in him that sent me, hath, that means God now, hath everlasting life, shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death unto life. Isn't it wonderful? hear it tonight. That's what I call a real deal. You know, you have life already. Half everlasting life. And you should not come into judgment. You receive Christ tonight, who died for you. If you have the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses all sin, you can go out of here judgment free. Isn't that wonderful? Shall not come into judgment, but it's past already. That's right now. Now, it's a now thing. What was the result of that preaching? Verse 24, some believed. Praise God for that, they're saved. Some believe not. There's only two groups. You're in the congregation of the dead in your sins, or you're in the congregation of saints. You know, the congregation of the saints is the congregation of God, the congregation of the living, the congregation of the righteous. It's referred to in the Word of God that way. But the congregation of the dead of the congregation of the ungodly, the congregation of evildoers, the congregation of hypocrites. It's in the Word of God that way. Now we're going to sing, but you know, I trust that before we're done singing this precious hymn, the makeup of this group will change. And why can I pray so assuredly that it should change? Because it can only change one way. Only one way. Some of you who are still in your sin in the congregation of the dead can become saved in the congregation of the saints. Never the other way. One who has life in Christ can never be lost. You will never gain one of us, you in the congregation of the dead. So I'd pray that there'd only be one group left here. By the time this gospel's over, you'll all be safe in Christ. You'll all be in the congregation of the living, of the saints. Christ is the Savior of sinners. Number four, you know, if you realize, really realize the peril you're in your sins, you'd get saved. You'd come to Christ and receive Him now. There was a young woman who thought everything was right in her life. Everything was going well. She was driving along, 4 years old. All of a sudden, she lost control of the car. Things changed, you know. And she was sliding right into a truck loaded with steel. That's the last thing she remembered. When she woke up, she was in terrible pain, but she thought she had gone blind. She couldn't see. She tried to reach her head, and she realized that her arms were strapped to the board she was on. And she did realize she was in a moving vehicle, in a moving vehicle. And she also realized that there was something over her face, a sheet. She shook her head frantically with much pain, and it slid off. Then she saw where she was in a hearse. She screamed. You know, if you realized you were in the hearse of Satan right now on the way to hell, you'd cry out to God. They turned. They took her to the hospital rather than the morgue. I trust that if any here are still in your sin, cry out to God in your heart to save you. He will. Well, we sing this hymn, number four. Now by His grace I am free. You can say that, Christ as Savior. Now I can say I am pardoned. Now there is no condemnation. This is the Savior for me. This is the Savior for me. It's the only Savior. Christ is the Savior of sinners. Christ is the Savior. Here for me, though I was chained in sin's darkness, now by His grace I am free. Savior of sinners, Savior of sinners like me, shedding His blood for my ransom. Savior.
Let us stand and sing the last stanza, please.
Loved with a love that's
unchanging, blessed with all blessings so free.
How shall I tell of his praises? This is the Savior for me.
We turn to Romans. Romans chapter 5. I want to give a verse, first of all, that's really good news. You know, it says in the Word of God, he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. And if you don't realize you have a need, you're not going to take the provision God's made for the need. You know, the one that thinks he's well doesn't need a physician, the Lord said. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And so we're going to let you know, I trust from the Word of God, you have a need of a Savior. But first, I want to give you one verse of the good news. And that's the 8th verse of Romans 5. God commendeth his love toward us. No one commends anything to another unless it's worth having. And this is the precious love of God. God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Isn't that a wonderful thought? I want you to realize that at the outset. Jesus Christ died for you. It's a faithful saying. It's worthy of all acceptation. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Isn't that wonderful? He came to save you. This verse tells of love. It's the love of God. You know, there's no higher source possible for anything than God himself. This speaks of the love of God. And it speaks of the subject of that love, sinners. There isn't any lower possible subject for that love or object than sinners. And it speaks of the sacrifice of that love, his own beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom was all his delight. There isn't any greater sacrifice possible than the blood of Jesus, his own beloved Son. That's the verse I want you to have first. Now verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Very simple, isn't it? But God wants it made very clear. Many times in the Word of God, you'll have that expression at the end, all have sinned. Therefore, they're all in the congregation of the dead. You were born in sin, conceived in sin. But don't blame Adam. You didn't have to do all the sinning you've done. And you don't have to remain in the congregation of the dead. But you're there if you're still in your sins. The congregation of the dead is made up of everyone still in their sins. Everyone outside of Christ, they are the walking, the talking, the wicked, the disobedient, the doing, the living dead. Now you say, how can you say that? I'm not dead. I'm sitting here. I walked in here. I trust to walk out. God said it. Ephesians 2, verse 1. Ephesians 2, verse 5. You could look at it. God says you're dead in your sins. If you're still in your sins, God considers you dead. That's a solemn thought. You're in the congregation of the dead. And if you die in your sins, physical death, it means forever. Forever. All eternity. Genesis, the 2nd chapter, the 17th verse, after giving Adam paradise, the Garden of Eden, and everything under his dominion, and giving him a helpmeet, Eve. You know, God said just one thing. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil, do not eat of that tree. In the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Thou shalt surely die. Satan said, thou shalt not surely die. He's a liar. He's the father of lies. And don't believe what he's saying to you now, tonight, because when the Word of God's opened and the grace of God is proclaimed, Satan gets active. And you know, God had only the good of Adam and Eve in mind, but Satan said, "Thou shalt not surely die." He said God wasn't telling the truth, but Satan's a liar. He's the father of all lies. So they ate. They sinned. They died. Why did they die? Because they sinned. What's that? Disobeying God. Doing your own will. I mean, doing your own thing, as they say, if you will, that's sin. You go on in your sins. You go on in your own way. That's sin. They that wandereth out of the way shall remain in the congregation of the dead. And so they die. Now turn with me to Genesis 5. I call it the Andy died chapter. I want you to see just a few verses. Because Satan said, "Thou shalt not surely die." But you're going to see here in verse 5, we'll take Genesis 5:5. All the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. You know, it says in verse 4, he begat sons and daughters. He lived 930 years, but three words appear, and he died. Now notice verse 7. Seth begat sons and daughters, and all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. Now Enos, in verse 10 at the end, begat sons and daughters, and all the days of Enos were 905 years, and he died. Middle age, perhaps. Didn't live as long as the others. But notice in verse 25, Methuselah lived 187 years, begat Lamech, and Methuselah lived after he begat Lamech 782 years and begat sons and daughters, and all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died. You know, God is true. God is true. Let God be true and every man a liar. Satan said, "Thou shalt not surely die," but the Andy die is here. This is a chapter that backs up the Word of God. And just believe what God says. You're in your sin, and death by sin. So death is passed upon all men because all have sinned. And he died. You know, Methuselah was the oldest man that ever lived. If there was a guy in this book of records in these days, he'd been in it. And nobody would ever beat it. But the wonderful part about it is his name means, "When he is dead, it shall come, the flood." The wonderful grace of God. He used the man with the longest life in being to predicate the coming of the judgment, the flood. That's the grace of God. And isn't it the grace of God that he's still waiting for you? That he hasn't brought up judgment yet into this world? That the Lord Jesus Christ hasn't come for all of us that are his? That's the grace of God. He would have all to be saved and come into the knowledge of the truth. And he died. Now you could put your name in Genesis 5. And you can add your years to it. Now, you don't know all of them. Today may be the last you've got, so you could put that for sure. But you could add some years that you think you're going to live. And you can add your begats if you've done any begatting. But you'll have to add one more thing. And he died. And she died. That's solemn, isn't it? And you'll have to add something besides that. After death, the judgment. After death, the judgment. And then, permanently in the congregation of the dead. That's the second death. Isn't that a solemn thought? Permanently in the congregation of the dead. That's the second death. Look at Revelations 20. Revelations chapter 20. I think this is important enough. Look at a verse or two here. Verse 11 in Revelations 20. I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. These are the ones who die in their sins, who reject the love of God, who turn down and do not receive the glorious gospel, that they may be saved. No standing. There's no place for them.
but they're going to have to face my Savior as their judge at the great white throne. You know, it's like you saw, if you did ever in the paper, on a picture, the astronauts in space. They didn't have any place to put their feet. That's what it's going to be like. No standing. No space. No place. And what are they there for? I saw the dead. The congregation of the dead is now all together before the Lamb, before the Savior, but they won't see him as Savior, as judge. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened. This is the book of life. And praise God, my name's in it. And your name can be in it. And if your name's in it, you'll never be judged for your sins. You won't be concerned with the books. But God is keeping the record, and there are the books. Now, down in verse 13 at the end, they were judged, every man, according to their works, and all there is in their works is sin. That's it. Oh, how solemn. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the end of verse 14. This is the second death. Isn't that solemn? What's the second death? Eternal separation from a holy God who's love and light and who's light itself. That's why it's the blackness of darkness forever. No God forever. Separated from God. The second death. The second death. If you die in your sins, you'll face the second death. You know, if you're born only once, that's it. You'll die twice, the second death. That's what we're reading about. But if you're born twice, and I aim, and you can be. If you've been born from above, born by God, born again, as it says in John 3, if you have Christ and that life that comes from Christ and the work of the cross, you may die once, never the second death. Never the second death. Isn't that wonderful? Well, that's the second death. You know, some people are born in their sins. I should say all are, but some continue that way. They remain in the congregation of the dead. They're born in their sins. They live a long life in their sins. They die in their sins, buried in their sins, raised in their sins, stand before the judgment at the great white throne in their sins, cast into the lake of fire in their sins, and they spend eternity that way. Solemn, isn't it? That's what we're talking about. The congregation of the dead. You know, they're all sinners. All are sinners. That's what we had. Romans 5, verse 12, that's where we were. All have sinned. All have sinned. Is anyone here so foolish to think you're a sinner but not so bad you need a Savior? You know, a lot of them say, I'm a sinner, but not like my neighbor down there. He's been in jail. That isn't what we're talking about. One sin keeps you out of heaven forever. One sin. And if you suffered in hell for all eternity, you couldn't atone to God for one sin. But Jesus Christ, the Son of God, on the cross, when he died in 3 hours of darkness and took upon himself the judgment of a holy God, he satisfied God forever for all the sins I ever committed because I've received him as Savior. And it can be true as to you. Now, you don't have to wait. Anyone so foolish to think they're not in that group, that they're a sinner and dead in their sins? I hope not. The soul that sinneth, it shall die, says God in the Word. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. There is not a just man on earth that doeth good and sinneth not. That ought to be enough to satisfy you. You need a Savior. You know, I hardly ever hear anybody say, I haven't sinned. They just say, I'm not so bad. But I heard one recently. I was with a brother and a sister in their home in a city in New Brunswick, just about to go. We had breakfast, a nice breakfast. We were reading. And we were reading Leviticus and reading a portion that told about the sacrifices that were so necessary in those days because of the sins of the people of God. Knock on the door. It was raining cats and dogs and bums because a bum was at the door. He was soaking wet. And he said, can you give me a glass of milk and 8 pieces of toast? He was hungry. And you know, she invited him and set him down, and he looked dreadful. And the dear sister made him the toast and strawberry jam, and he emptied the jar. And we said we're reading this morning from Leviticus. And we'd appreciate it if you want to listen while you eat. Well, he grunted all right. And as we read and finished, we discussed it. And the dear brother said to him, you know, these animals had to be killed. Their blood had to be shed because of the sin of the people. And that's why Jesus Christ shed his blood and died for the sins of everyone. If you receive him, your sins will be forgiven and washed in the precious blood of Christ. Are you forgiven? Have your sins been cleansed? He said, I don't have any. You know, you don't hear that very often. I don't have any. I haven't sinned. Well, I don't think any of us realized that he meant it. And so the brother said, what do you mean you don't have any? You haven't sinned. All have sinned. And he took him to the verse we have. He says, no, I haven't sinned. I've never sinned. I just make mistakes. And that's, I just make mistakes. Well, you know, he made a big mistake. I don't know what it is, but I know he made a big mistake. Of course, the biggest mistake is not believing God. If you believe God, you can be saved and have your sins forgiven. Why do men spend eternity in hell? Not because of the multitude of their sins or the magnitude of them, but because they believe not, they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. That's the only reason. They won't have Christ. They will not have Christ. Well, he said, I only make mistakes. Well, we read on and talked a little bit, and while we did, he ate. And while he was eating, I noticed something. I thought he had a nervous affliction, but he kept taking the napkin and wiping what he was eating with, his fork and his knife, the edge of his plate. And when he drank his glass, he wiped it thoroughly dry and clean. He said, are you through with your eating? He was very polite. And we said, yes, we're through. Well, may I leave? Yes. He thanked us and went to the door and stood there. Just stood there. Finally, we looked at him and he says, isn't anybody going to open the door for me? You know, you can't wipe the knob on the other side and it's too obvious to do it on this side. I knew what was up then. I opened it, let him out into the rain. We found out where he was going and called the police. You know, he made a big mistake in his life, and he's worried. His conscience are bothering him. But the biggest mistake is not to have it forgiven. Not to have it forgiven. You know, you've done a lot of sinning. But you know, if you can admit it, you can be saved right now. He couldn't admit it. God looked down here in order to prove, not to himself, he knows what's in your heart, he knows all about you, to prove to you tonight that you need a Savior. Turn to Psalms 14, please. Psalms, the 14th Psalm. The end of verse 1. You know, God often gives a conclusion before he gives the basis of it. There is none that doeth good. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see. You know, when he makes a look like this, it's not a cursory examination. God makes a thorough examination, and he can see everyone from the beginning to the end. In chapter 33, it says he looked down upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He saw you. What did he see? Here it is. He wanted to see if there's any that understood. Any that sought God, they are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. Notice the margin if you got one, stinking. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. That's God's appraisal. He saw it. That's it. You all need a Savior. You all need a Savior, and it's just the grace of God that he's made Christ the Savior of sinners. This is a faithful saying. I'm going to give it again. 1 Timothy 1:15. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Isn't that wonderful? To save sinners. Look at Galatians. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Isn't that wonderful? To save sinners. Look at Galatians 3:22. I'll show you why it's so wonderful. Galatians, the third chapter, I believe is the 22nd verse. The Scripture has concluded all under sin. Why? that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. You're qualified. Isn't that wonderful? That the promise of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. You're all sinners. Well, you know, the Old Testament, as we read in Psalms, said it, indicted man. But the New Testament sealed it. The New Testament sealed it. Now turn to Romans 3, the third chapter of Romans, and we'll see the equivalent of Psalm 14 that we read, but now it's in the New Testament. In verse 10, at the end, verse 9 at the end, they are all under sin. Verse 10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. And dear friends, those that continue, those that go in the way of those who are not in the way of understanding, continue or remain in the congregation of dead. If they wandereth out of the way of understanding, they remain in the congregation of the dead. They are all gone out of the way. They are altogether become unprofitable. None that doeth good, no, not one. Solemn, isn't it? There's none. None. Now it boils down to this. They are all gone out of the way, and our verse in Proverbs 21 says, the man that wandereth out of the way shall remain in the congregation of the dead. It boils down to this, Isaiah 53:1. The prophet said, who hath believed the report? Who hath believed this report that you need a Savior? Who hath believed the report that you're lost, dead in your sins? What was the report that Isaiah had? All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. That's the report. Who's believed it? If you believed it, you can be saved. That's what it matters. All, said God, all are in the congregation of the dead. You're dead in your sins. Now there's good news. Thank God for it. That's the gospel. But unless you realize you need a Savior, you're not going to receive Him. I trust you realize you're going to spend eternity in hell if you don't receive Christ tonight. That's the good news. Praise be to God. God has His own congregation. It's the congregation of the living, the congregation of the saints, the congregation of the righteous. It's the congregation of God. And everyone that receives Christ is in it forever. Turn to Psalms 1. I want to show you a verse on that. The first Psalm. Verse 5. The ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Who are the righteous? Who are we talking about? The righteous. Well, we'll turn back to Romans 3. We'll turn back to Romans 3. In Romans 3, it tells us what it is to be righteous and who they are. You know, to be righteous is to be godlike. Is to have the life of Christ and you'll be righteous. Because as it says in verse 22, speaking of the righteousness of God, the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all that believe. There's no difference, all have sinned. You know, you can be in the congregation of the righteous, the congregation of saints, the congregation of the living. How can you have it? By faith of Jesus Christ. That's it. Oh, how wonderful that is. By faith of Jesus Christ. That's why Christ died. That's why God sent His Son into this world. The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. There's no other way He could save you and I from our sins. There's no other way He could have us in the congregation of the righteous but through Christ and His precious blood. He was the perfect, the holy, the sinless Son of God who became a man for that purpose. What a wonderful gospel it is. And God says, I can give you life now, the life of Christ, if you just believe and receive Him.
It says it's unto all. That means everyone here tonight who has heard this much of the Word of God can go out of here in the congregation of the saints, the congregation of the righteous. Life of Christ, judgment free, on your way to glory, praising God. Isn't that wonderful? Unto all. But notice, it's upon all that believe. It's upon all that believe. Paul preached. What was the result? Some believed. Some believed not. How sad. But there's always just two groups. You came in here in two groups. I'd love it if you went out of here in just one. Because it could only turn one way. Those that are lost could be saved. No other way. Isn't it wonderful? You could all go out of here in the congregation of the saints. The congregation of the righteous. Oh, how wonderful it is. Now, what about the congregation of the saints? Well, I want to show you one verse on that too. Psalm 149, I think. It's a wonderful verse. Psalm 149. If I can find it. Oh, the very first verse. Praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song and his praise in the congregation of the saints. You know, who are the saints? Oh, I want to tell you something. It's wonderful. You don't have to wait till you're dead. Not like some religions tell us today. You don't have to wait till 200 years after until you've gone through four steps or five steps, beatified, and somebody says, now put him on a pedestal even if he's dead. He's now a saint. No, I'm a saint living right now. And so is everyone who's received Christ and received the life of Christ. You're a saint. What is it? A separated one, a set apart one. Sanctification is separation. That's all it means. But it's a lot. Separated by God from this world for His Son forever in glory. A set apart one, a saint. Isn't that wonderful? The minute you receive Christ, you're a saint. You're in the congregation of the saints. Oh, I think it's so grand. It's so wonderful. And you'll be that way forever. There's no waiting period to be a saint. You can be a saint tonight. You can receive Christ, and God will set you apart for Himself forever from this world. Now, we're talking about faith, not religion. Faith. Religion's of man, faith is of God, faith saves. For by grace are you saved through faith. Through faith. That's not of yourself. It's a gift of God. It's a gift of God. You know, if you realize you're in such peril in your sins as that woman realized she was in peril, pinioned down in that hearse, you'd cry out to God. He'd give you the faith right now to be saved. You'd be a saint and in the congregation of the saints. Now let's just look a little contrast between this faith we're talking about and what man does, as Cain did. You know, that's worship. That's religion, but it isn't of God. It's only faith. Let's turn to Matthew 23 for just a few verses. When we commenced this gospel, it was made clear the room can only be divided into two groups, that's all. Congregation of the dead, the congregation of the saints. There isn't anything else. You're saved or lost. That's it. Don't rely on anything you're doing, and don't rely on religion of men. You'll stay, you'll remain in the congregation of the dead forever. Now, we had a verse at Job, but I won't turn to it. It's in the 15th chapter. He speaks of the congregation of hypocrites. And what are they speaking about there, the congregation of hypocrites? The ones who were religious. The ones who were doing works. The ones who thought that God would credit them for something that they did. Never. There's not one thing a sinner can do. It's all done by Christ on the cross. Nothing else. It's only the blood of Jesus Christ. Nothing else. But the blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse from all sin. Chapter 23 is the Lord Jesus speaking about the religious ones of His day, the highest religion of His day, the scribes and the Pharisees in verse 2, who sat in Moses' seat. What's that? The place of authority. They were responsible. They had the oracles of God. but they weren't giving it out in truth. They didn't have faith. Notice at the end of verse 3, they say and do not. That's the problem. No reality. That's religion of man. No reality. They say and do not. Turn to 1 Timothy, the 4th chapter. I want to give you a verse on that. It's very important. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 3 at the end. They heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They shall turn away their ears from the truth. That's what we're talking about. They weren't going on in reality in the truth and the word of God. It's religion. They sat in Moses' seat. They say, but they do not. No faith involved. And so it is today. That's what Timothy's speaking about, or Paul to Timothy, today. This is the day we're talking about. They heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Having itching ears. What is the truth that they ought to hear? What is the truth that they ought to preach from the pulpit? Altogether stinking. That's what we had in Psalm 14. They wouldn't last very long. They'd get rid of them. Get themselves another one who would tickle their itching ears. Tell them you're doing pretty good. Getting better all the time. But that isn't what the Word of God said. You need a Savior. You know, it's about... They'd last about as long preaching the truth as the blind man lasted in John 9 when the Lord opened his eyes. They said, give God the credit, not Jesus. No, I can't give anyone credit but Jesus. One thing I know, I was blind, now I see, and that man Jesus did it. Out you go. They kicked him out. They wouldn't have him, but the Lord would. And that's a wonderful truth. Well, they heap unto themselves today teachers having itching ears. They tickle their ears and let them hear what they want. And that's what was wrong here, religion. You know, it never saved a soul, never will. Let's see what the Lord said in Matthew 23. Woe unto you. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, the congregation of the hypocrites. They're all in the congregation of the dead, you know, in their sin. Why hypocrites? You shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. You neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. Look at verse 14. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. Now what? For pretense you make long prayers. You know, isn't that solemn? What's going on? You can look in Luke, the 18th chapter. We won't turn to it. There's a Pharisee of the Lord's day he's talking about. He was in the temple. It's the right place. He stood there to pray, the right purpose. And he said, I thank God. Isn't it nice to thank God? What did he thank God for? I thank God I'm not like other men. I'm like I am. And then he had a prayer of pride. All the things he was doing, he listed. All the things he didn't do, he listed. But there was another man that prayed, a publican. A man that knew he was a sinner. I trust you know you're a sinner. A man that knew God could help him and the Lord Jesus could. He wouldn't lift up his eyes so much to heaven. He just smote his breast in disgust. 7 words. God be merciful to me, the sinner. God be merciful to me, the sinner. And the voice of Jesus rang out. Justified. That man's justified. Saved in the congregation of the saints. Isn't it wonderful? We're talking about faith. Repentance towards God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're saved. What's repentance? Just acknowledging your need as a sinner. That's repentance. It isn't hard. Just believe what God said. Oh, how the Lord was upset. Look at the words he used for the religious pretenders of that day. 15th verse. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites! They compass the sea and land to make a new convert, but they make them the children of hell. They make them the children of hell. They keep them in the congregation of the dead. Dear friends, if you're relying on religion, don't do it. If you're doing one thing even to think God will give you credit and you get to heaven, forget it. You're still in your sins. There's only one Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. There's only one way. Faith in Christ. There isn't anything else. Let's look on at a couple more verses. Verse 23. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites! there in the congregation of the hypocrites, you've omitted the weightier matters. What's that? Law, judgment, mercy, faith. You've omitted the most important things. Why the law? The law was given to show yourself the need of a Savior. The law is just a mirror to let you see you can't keep it. You fall short, you sin. Isn't that wonderful that He has given the law? For that reason only. None other. It's to bring you to Christ. Well, what about judgment? God's holy. God's holy. He must judge sin. But He doesn't want to judge you for your sins. He wants to save you. He wants to save you. Judgment. Mercy. Judgment is getting what you deserve. And dear friends, if you get what you deserve, you'll be judged by a holy God and cast into the lake of fire forever. What's mercy? Not getting what you deserve by the grace of God. Not getting what you deserve. How's that possible? Jesus Christ on the cross was judged by God for your sins if you'll have Him as your Savior. That's wonderful, isn't it? Not getting what you deserve because His own Son, sinless, perfect substitute, took the sins upon Himself if you'll have Him. Faith. The more weightier matter, faith. By grace are you saved through faith? Not a bit you do, but just believing God. That's it. Well, one more verse here in this chapter. Verse 33. Notice the words the Lord Jesus uses. You serpents, you generation of vipers, how can you escape the damnation of hell? And I'm going to ask you the same thing. If you are still in your sins, in the congregation of the dead, how are you going to escape the damnation of hell? Hebrews 2:3, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation being offered to you tonight? There is no other way. You won't escape. That's the answer. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, why? Because death is running rampant in this world. This world is enshrouded with death. Why? Death by sin, and so death is passed upon all men. Oh, get out of it. Get out of it. Get out of the congregation of the dead. I want to turn to one more portion. Isaiah. 38th chapter. You know, this is wonderful. The first verse of this chapter brings in King Hezekiah. King Hezekiah, he was sick unto death. Now, dear friends, so are you. If you're still in your sin, so are you. Sin, sickness is unto death, and that's the second death, eternal separation from a holy God. He was sick unto death, and now the grace of God, the marvelous faithfulness of God. He sent a prophet to Hezekiah. And what did the prophet say? Thus says the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die. And what wonderful faithfulness of God tonight. You've been given another warning. If you're still in your sins, I know you've been warned before. But God says, set thy house in order. Thou shalt die. And if you die in your sins, it's forever too late. Forever too late. What did Hezekiah do? He turned and prayed unto the Lord. Dear friends, cry out tonight in your heart. Cry out tonight to the Lord and you'll be saved. It doesn't take any time and it doesn't take any special care. You know, that publican in the temple just had 7 words. That's enough. Repentance towards God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. God be merciful to me, the sinner. He's saved. Oh, cry out before it's forever too late. You're in Satan's hurt on the way to hell. And he'd love to keep you. He'd love to keep you there. You don't have to remain in the congregation of the dead. He that wandereth out of the way shall remain in the congregation of the dead. God doesn't want you to. Hezekiah turned. That's repentance. He prayed to the Lord. That's crying out. And how wonderful it is. Verse 4, then came the word of the Lord. Verse 5, I heard thy prayer. I will deliver thee. Verse 6, and that's the word of God for you tonight. He'll hear it in your heart. The Lord knows your thoughts. in your heart before they reach your mind. Just ask him right where you sit to save me. Tell him you need Jesus Christ as Savior. He'll give you the faith to receive Christ, and you'll go out of here as a child of God in the congregation of the saints. I want to turn to a verse here now, stressing the point it isn't religion. You know, I trust none of you think works will do one thing for you. They can't. Just faith in Christ, he will deliver you. You could take all the prayers you ever prayed, and you could take all the good works and deeds you've ever done, and you could take all the religion you've ever practiced, and you can wrap them all up in a beautiful bundle and tie it with a ribbon of blue, heavenly color, but you'll carry that package with you into the lake of fire for eternity. Won't do one bit of good. Faith in Christ, that's all. That's why he came. Now in Isaiah 38:18, the grave cannot praise thee. Death cannot celebrate thee. They that go down into the pit cannot hope for thy truth, because they remain in the congregation of the dead. How long? How long do they remain in the congregation of the dead? Where's the clock? What time is it? What time is it? For eternity. For eternity. You know, that word only appears once in the Word of God. That's all. You say, isn't that strange, a word as important as that to my soul? Once in the Word of God? That's right, just once. Eternity. Oh, what important meaning it has to you. Because you're going to spend eternity someplace. Hell or heaven. I want to give you an impression of that word. I trust it impresses your soul if you're still in your sin. Little poem I love. Perhaps you've heard it. Doesn't matter. This is the only way I can describe it. Sometimes someone asks me, what is eternity? I only give this definition, as long as God is God, but it's not really one that sends it home. Count the little drops of water that within the ocean lie. Count the many stars that twinkle as you gaze into the sky. Count the sands upon the desert and upon the ocean shore, and count the moments in your lifetime come but to return no more. Count the leaves within the forest, the tiny flakes of snow, and count the blades of grass in summer and the shining drops of dew. And count the tears which all the millions in so many lands have shed. And count the stones in all the graveyards telling where they've placed their dead. Count the birds which soar above us and the atoms in the air. And count the many blossoms giving fragrance everywhere. And when your counting all is done, eternity has scarce begun. And then, friend, where will you be during all eternity? Solemn, isn't it? In torments, in the blackness of darkness forever, where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, in the absence of God, whose love and light, wouldn't that be solemn forever? And if you find yourself there, you'll never blame God. God will have all men to be saved. You'll never blame the Lord. The Lord's not willing that any perish. You'll blame yourself for all eternity. There'll be no one else to blame. You receive not the love of the truth that you can be saved. Now, friend, where will you be for all eternity? You see, I can't answer it. I'll do it for you. I can tell you where you'll be for all eternity. 1 second after death. Wherever you are then, you'll be there forever. 1 second after death. Boast not thyself of tomorrow. Thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. You know, there's a verse in Job, and I love it because it's so faithful. 36, verse 18. I'll quote it. Because there is wrath, beware. Because there is wrath, beware. Lest he take thee away with his stroke, and then a great ransom cannot deliver thee, forever too late. How long? Eternity. You know, the fact is there's wrath. He that hath the Son, he that believeth on the Son, hath everlasting life. John 3:36, he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. It's over your head right now in your sins. And so the fact is, there is wrath, beware. The possibility, he'll take thee away with his stroke. The impossibility, then a great ransom cannot deliver thee. Forever, that's eternity. Oh, dear friends, I trust there isn't any here going to walk out of here in your sins. You don't have to. I trust none of them here continue in the congregation of the dead. The Lord doesn't want it. What wonderful love we've been preaching tonight. It's the love of God for you. We're going to sing a hymn. But you know, I trust. Let's read one more verse, by the way. 19th verse of the same chapter we're in. Isaiah 38. The living, he shall praise thee. Not the dead. The living shall praise thee. Isn't that wonderful? I'm one of them. I've started it. But I'll praise him soon in glory as I ought. And I trust everybody here will be among the living, the congregation of the living, so that they can start praising him right now with the rest of us. We're going to sing a hymn along that line, but I want to tell you just one little thing that happened. It may set it in your heart. This happened in Joplin, Missouri, 1978. A man by the name of Alfred Summers, 30 years old, little family, construction worker, maintenance man in a hotel collapsed. You know, these things happen. They happen. When the Lord was here, Luke 13, he spoke of the Tower of Siloam that fell and killed 18. You know what he said to the disciples? Do you think they were greater sinners than you? Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. That's the point. Hotel collapsed. The whole thing came down. He was on the bottom. He was on the bottom. No hope. Wouldn't you say? So would I. 2-foot hole. Couldn't lift his head, laying on his back. There he was, buried. 2-foot hole. That's the height of it. Dark. He knew what happened. The whole thing came down. Well, the first day he was there, 3.5 days. The first day, Alfred Summers tried everything. Tried to loosen some rocks without letting the whole pile come down on him. He found a pipe and he tapped it with a little stone, hoping somebody would hear it. He tried all kinds of things, but he couldn't move. Second day, he tried other things. Tried not to move too hard because the oxygen was getting low. Tried not to breathe much. Thought of his family. Realized he was over now. It's all gone. And began to think, where am I going to be? Where am I going to be? You know, at the end of the second day, it's interesting. He said, I was never a religious man. Never. But I knew now that if anyone could save me, it had to be Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? How do you know that? You know it too. If anyone can save you, it has to be Jesus. And he was thinking now of eternity. And he cried out to the Lord. The next morning he heard something. The sound of machinery. Distant, but he heard it. And he started to pray again. Then he heard a rumble, and he saw the stone shaking near him. And finally a ray of light and some fresh air. And as they dug it away and dragged him out, you know what he said? Thank you, Lord Jesus. First thing he said, thank you, Lord Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? You know, I trust you sense if you're still in your sins, you're in Satan's hearse, just like that woman. Cry out, the Lord will save you. If anybody can help you now, it has to be Jesus. That's what he said, and he's right. There isn't anybody else. There's none other Savior. Then you'll be with the living, and you'll praise God. You'll praise the Lord. 31. I will praise my dear Redeemer. His triumphant power I'll tell. How the victory he giveth over sin and death and hell. Sing, all sing of my Redeemer. With his blood he purchased me. On the cross he sealed my pardon. He paid the debt and made me free. Number 31. I will sing of my Redeemer and his wife.